victory, the triumph of the Christ will soon appear. The fight is on, O Christian soldiers, and face to face in stern array. With armor gleaming, with color streaming, the right and wrong engage today. The fight is on, but be not weary. Be strong and increase my old plans. If God be for us, his banner o'er us, we'll sing the victor song at last. The fight is on, the rousy soldiers brave and true. Jehovah leads, and victory will assure.
Father, thank you and praise you for our first service, and we ask your guidance for our second service right now, and bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Psalm 364, standing on the promises. On the first verse, ready, sing.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternally, my love strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing. Standing on the promises I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing.
got your bulletin, and on the front you can see our verse of the week is Jonah 3:10, where it says, "And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not." That's a great verse. And on the next page, we have our weekly service times, Sunday morning at 10 a.m., then our second service is at 11:30, and also our Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We have our soul winning times listed there. On Saturday mornings at Quezon Memorial Circle, they meet at the Tropical Hut Restaurant. A reminder, though, it's going to be at 2 p.m. this Saturday instead of 10 a.m. because there's more people there at 2 p.m., so it's going to be probably more profitable. And also our Sunday afternoon soul winning in Rizal Park, we're going to meet at 2:30 at the Rizal Monument. So instead of the Lapu Lapu Monument today, we're going to meet at the Rizal Monument, which is pretty close. And at 2:30, so we'll give you a little bit more time to eat before we start soul winning. Our praise report for 2018, salvations, 67 salvations, which was just over 2 days, Saturday and Sunday from a week ago. Baptisms, no baptisms. Last Sunday morning attendance, 40. Last week, soul winners, 26. We are a family-integrated church. Children and infants are welcome in the church services for your convenience during all the services. Let me just say this about being a family-integrated church. I love it that my son gets to hear good preaching from a young age, because a lot of churches, they don't get to do that. I think it's great to be a family-integrated church, have the kids with us during the services. Please, no eating during the church services, but you are welcome to get water over there. And let's maintain a professional atmosphere during the church service, and let's keep the children from running in roughhousing before and after the church services. On the next page, we have our Salvation Boot Camp series, which we did our sermon for this morning on that. Join us for this important series as we cover the essential elements of salvation on Sundays. We covered not of works, we covered repentance, we got more topics coming up. And we have the Gospel of John, which we're going through on Wednesday nights. Join us each Wednesday night as we study the most important book in the entire Bible. And I believe that. The book of John is the most important book. Let me say this, that I know a lot of people live a long ways away, but I encourage you on Wednesdays to check out the live stream so you can keep up to date on all the preaching and everything. And we're going to be going through the book of John for quite a while. And if you're not able to make it on Wednesdays, I understand, because a lot of you come from a really long distance. But I encourage you to check out the live stream. You know, we have a live stream up there to try to help people, you know, listen to the sermons, especially from this church, in case you're not able to make it. We have our Decision Sunday, where we just covered, is repentance necessary for salvation? And the second sermon is going to tie into it, where it's who is on the Lord's side is going to be the sermon coming up. And we have Baptism Sunday coming up on December 16th, and baptisms will be immediately following Sunday services. And before December 16th, if you want to be baptized, you know, let me know, either write it on a communication card, tell me about it, tell my wife about it, so we can be ready and prepared for that. And we have our Verity Baptist Church Manila Missions trip coming up in January, January 14th through 20th. And it's going to be coming up here pretty quickly. Then we have our 31-day Bible reading challenge coming up in the last 3 days of January and the month of February. And as a church, we're going to encourage each other to read through the entire New Testament in 1 month. And that is actually a very doable goal. It just means that we're going to have to maybe set aside some of our distractions, like Facebook in the morning and some things that really don't matter that much. And, you know, turn off our cell phones so we don't get a text every 2 minutes when we're reading the Bible, and just focus on the Word of God. And, you know, personal growth is really important, because as zealous of, as all of us are here, we love to go soul winning and things like that. I want to be in this for the long haul, which means I need to keep personally growing each and every year, each and every month. All of us do. So it's very important for us to read the Bible. It's going to be a great time. We have our birthdays and anniversaries for November, December. This week is Brother Dustin's birthday on Saturday, December 7th. And if you have a birthday in November or December and it's not listed here, please write that in on the communication card, or, you know, tell my wife about it, write it down somewhere so we can know and add that. We have our prayer list for December. We want to remember Pastor Jimenez and his family. We want to remember Verity Baptist Church in Sacramento. Also Verity Baptist Church Boise. And also, we want to pray for a permanent building for Verity Baptist Church Manila. And, you know, we just want to pray that God leads us in the right direction. We find the right price, a good location where we can really build a church. And so let's pray about that. We want to pray for each other, the church family of Verity Baptist Manila, and also for a decision for those living nearby to come to VBC Manila. And so, especially with these sermons here this morning, it's kind of geared that way, that if people are kind of on the fence, they would make the decision to come here. Quotable quotes: no one will ever go to hell who has put his trust in Jesus Christ, but many will end up in torment who have trusted their own righteousness and reformation. Yes, from Curtis Hudson. That's definitely true with a lot of these repentance of sins preachers. Many of them are going to end up in hell Because they're not trusting in Jesus, but they're trusting in their reformation, their repentance of sins, and not what Jesus Christ did. I believe that's it for announcements, and Brother Timothy's going to come up and lead us in another song.
Can you please take out your victory in Jesus? We will sing the victory in Jesus, version 2. And the first verse. This is
it. I heard a lie from Satan about the blessed salvation. How we can see our life to Christ.
Turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. Verse 1 says, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount together with Aaron, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us.
for us, for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, and of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with the graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation, and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow, and offered burnt offerings, and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink, and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them, and they have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord his God, and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt, with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, For mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn thou thy fierce wrath, and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and said unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written in both their sides. On one side and on the other were they written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God, graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, There is the noise of war in the camp. And he said, It is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the cow and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hand, and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf, which they had made, and burnt it in the fire, and ground it to powder, and strawed it upon the water, and made the children of Israel drink of it. And Moses said unto Aaron, What did this people unto thee, that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, Let not the anger of the Lord wax, my Lord, wax hot. Thou knowest that people, that they are set on mischief. They said unto me, Make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And I said unto them, Whosoever had any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. For Moses had said, Consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, Ye have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore now go, lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, will I visit their sin upon them. And the Lord plagued the people because they had made the calf which Aaron made. Now let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, for this opportunity, for another service, Lord. May you bless what is studied with your word, with wisdom, Lord, that we may know more about your teachings, Lord, from this work, from this chapter, Lord. In this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we're here in Exodus chapter 32, and I think all of us would agree that Exodus 32 is one of the most exciting chapters in the entire Bible. It's a great chapter, and I think this chapter is really pertinent when we're talking about this issue of repentance and what we have going on with the Bible Baptists who are preaching a false gospel. Because we're at two ends of the spectrum here. We got what we believe, and we got what the Bible Baptists believe. We got what we believe over here and what these repentance of sins preachers believe. And here in Exodus chapter 32, Moses has just gone for a short time. And Aaron has his opportunity to be in charge. Remember, later on in the book, in the Bible, you know, Aaron wanted to be in charge. And it's like, well, you already got your chance. And when you were in charge, you didn't exactly do a good job. You're worshiping a golden calf after a short time. And so this issue is very similar because we have two very opposite sides. And that's the first point. This issue of repentance, we have two ends of the spectrum, two opposite sides on what we believe. In Exodus 32, let's look at verse 19. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot. And he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burned it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. And Moses said unto Aaron, What did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, Let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, Make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And I said unto them, Whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. So here we have two sides. We have the side of Moses that wants to worship the Lord, that loves the Lord. And then we got the side here worshiping a golden calf. You see, when you have situations of two things that are so opposite from one another, you must make a choice. You cannot stand in between on an issue like this. When it's so far apart from one another, you either believe like Moses does, or you believe like they do that are worshiping the golden calf. There is no in-between position. When it comes to this repentance of sins, these are two very different extremes. We got what we believe over here, and we got repentance of sins way over there. These are not close to one another. It's not a difference in semantics. It's not a small difference. They're different gospels.
Right.
There's one gospel, and the gospel we believe is what's going to get you to heaven, and this false gospel is all the way over here.
Right.
These are not close to each other. It's not just a small difference. It's got salvation by faith alone.
Amen.
And work salvation.
Right.
The same gospel of the Catholics, the Muslims, the Hindus, whatever religion, it's all the same. You have two different extreme sides. Now I want you to understand something. That both sides, when it comes to what I believe or Pastor Jimenez believes, we would look here and say they believe a different gospel. But I want you to understand something. On this side, you got Benny Abante. And he would say that he believes a different gospel than us.
Oh, right.
See, Benny Abante doesn't think I'm saved. I promise you that's what he believes. If you were to talk to him one-on-one, he would say they preach a false gospel, they're not saved. That's what he believes. He doesn't think I'm a child of God. I don't think he's a child of God. You got two sides, and both sides at the top, we understand these are different gospels. So you got to make a decision on this. It's not something you can go in between. And people like to go in between on this topic. There is no in between. Either it's by faith alone, or it's by repenting of sins. These are different beliefs.
Yeah, right.
John 3:16, we read it this morning. You don't have to turn there. But it says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the question is, is it God gave his only begotten son, or we give our life to Christ?
Right.
These are two different things.
Yep.
I thought God gave his life for me.
Yep.
I thought Jesus died for my sins.
Yeah.
He gave his life for me. I don't have to give God my life to be saved.
Right.
Yep. And honestly, nobody's given their entire life to God. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Did you wake up this morning and pray for 3 hours? And read the Bible for 3 hours, then just walk the streets for 6 hours preaching the gospel? I don't think so. None of us have given our entire lives to God. Not a single person. I'm still working. I'm still growing. Nobody's given their life to Christ. And if we had to give our life to Christ to be saved, we would all go to hell.
Right.
Because
right.
Nobody has given their entire life to Christ. I want to make it very obvious to you that what I believe and what we believe is very different than what they believe.
Yeah.
I listened to a sermon yesterday. I finished it this morning. Sermon from Vinny Abante. The grace of God. See, we're saved by grace, right? God's
yeah.
grace. Everyone
yeah.
agrees with that. We're saved by God's grace. I've got six quotes from this sermon from Vinny Abante, the king of the Bible Baptists here in the Philippines.
Yeah.
Let's hear these quotes. Number one, you might know that you're saved, but not know the meaning of what salvation means. You can be saved and not even understand what it means to be saved. That's what he said. He said, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense. No, it makes perfect sense with Calvinists. Because
yeah.
what Calvinists believe is that God regenerates you. See, I could be walking down the street today, just walking, walking, and boom, all of a sudden God saves me. That's what they believe. I could be taking a nap and wake up and I'm saved. That's what they believe. I could be eating lunch, and I get done eating lunch, and boom, God's regenerated me. But I don't understand it. I mean, he saved me. I know I'm saved now, but I don't understand it. I mean, it makes sense with what they believe. That's what they believe, that God regenerates you, not based on what you believe. So you don't even have to understand what salvation is, because if God picks you, you're going to heaven whether you like it or not. And if you want to be saved, well, if you're not chosen, you're going to hell. That's what they believe. And God just regenerates you. You might know that you're saved, but not know the meaning of what salvation means. I'm sorry, but when people hear the gospel, they have to understand what salvation is to be saved.
Yes.
Amen.
It's whosoever believeth. And if you say, well, you know, I don't understand the gospel, you can't be saved. You have to understand what you need to do to be saved. You can't believe on Jesus without understanding what you have to believe.
Right.
I mean, that's
right.
ridiculous. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But it makes sense if you're a Calvinist. That's quote number one. What about this quote? You can profess the Lord and announce to the whole world, I believe in Jesus. But in your own lives every day, there is no evidence of that salvation. Why? It is just a profession. You know what he's saying? If you say you're saved and there's no works, you're not saved.
Right.
It's just a profession. If there's no works to back it up, you're not saved. Wait a minute. I thought salvation was by grace alone. And you're telling me that if there's no works, you're not saved. That sounds like a different gospel to me. That sounds like Vinny Abante and what we believe are very extremely different from one another. Because what we believe is whosoever believeth in him, and Vinny Abante saying, wait a minute, if there's no works, you're just making a profession. You can say you believe, but if you really believe, you're going to have works. That's what he believes. Point number three in his sermon, or the third quote that I pulled out. And folks, listen. If you are saved today, we might not be perfect, but if you are saved today, you are being delivered not only from the power of sin, but from the pleasures of sin. If not, don't tell me you're saved. That's what Vinny Abante says. That if you're not being delivered from the pleasures of sin, don't tell me you're saved. Which means that, you know what, if you've been saved for a couple of years and you still listen to rock music, you're not saved. You haven't been delivered from the pleasures of sin. I mean, if you've been saved for a length of time and you still drink alcohol sometimes, don't tell me you're saved. That's what Vinny Abante said. That if there's not this massive change, and if you're still struggling with the same sins you did a year ago, obviously God's not delivering you from the pleasures of sin. You must not be saved. That's what Vinny Abante believes. The fourth quote. If you still enjoy many of those sins, think for a while. If you say that you're saved and you don't even enjoy reading the Bible, you don't enjoy coming to the ecclesia, you're not serving God, you're not obedient to your pastor, think, you might not be saved. That's a direct quote. word for word. And look, I don't have a printer right now. I'd take time to scribble all this down, pause, and write everything. That's what he said. He said that, you know what, if you don't love your pastor, if you don't love this church, if you don't love reading the Bible, look, you might not be saved. Now, let me ask you a question. Let's say that there, because I promise you there are saved people at his church. I promise you that's the case. I guarantee it. All these Bible Baptist churches, there are saved people because those are the best churches they can find. If you're a saved person and you hear this preaching every week, you know what's going to happen? You're going to start becoming confused.
Right.
You say, well, how do people get confused in the book of Galatians? Because of this kind of preaching. Because if you hear over and over again that, wait a minute, if you don't have works, you might not be saved, you're going to start getting confused. That's why I hate this kind of preaching. I remember that when I first got saved, I listened to a lot of independent Baptist preaching online. And there's one guy I listened to a lot, and I didn't realize this repentance of sins topic. And it turns out he was a false prophet. Now, he was very dynamic, and so it was entertaining to listen to him. But all of a sudden, you know, he really focused so much about how, you know what, you have to have this magical moment when you get saved, that you start wondering yourself, wait a minute, you know, when I prayed, did I fully understand it? You start getting a little bit confused yourself. Look, if you sit under false preaching, you're going to get confused. I don't care who you are. If I just listen to false preaching every week, week after week after week, I'm going to start getting a little bit confused. And let me tell you something. There's saved people at Benny Abante's church. Now, the sermon we heard this morning, wasn't it very clear what salvation is by believing alone?
Yeah,
let me tell you something. Those saved people, they could listen to that sermon and say amen, but you know what? They listen to Benny Abante every week. They're going to start getting confused. There's saved people that are hearing this kind of preaching every single week, and they're getting confused because of a devil. Benny Abante is not a confused man. He knows what he believes. He's never going to get saved. The guy is a devil.
Right.
He's not just unsaved. Benny Abante is a devil. He's the king of these Bible Baptists in the Philippines. The man is a devil. Number five, if you really want to be saved, you've got to repent of your sins and believe Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Plain as day, you must repent of your sins if you really want to be saved. His implication when he says if you really want to be saved is, well, I mean, you can choose to believe, but if you really want to be saved, you better make a change, buddy. You better repent of your sins. That's what he's saying. Number six, the last one. Are you doing God's will? Because doing God's will is just the effect of salvation, folks. Basically saying it's just guaranteed you're going to do his will if you get saved. It's just the effect of salvation, folks. If you're not doing God's will, how could you ever tell me that you're saved? That's what he said. Basically saying, you know what? If you're not doing God's will, if you're not walking the walk, don't tell me you're saved. You're not saved if you don't have works. That's what Benny Abante believes. Okay. I went through those quotes just to make it very clear here this morning what we're talking about. It's kind of a two-part sermon. What we believe is all the way over here. What they believe is all the way over here. These are not just a slight difference. Benny Abante is a devil, and any preacher that's going to preach you got to turn from your sins and make this lifestyle change, they're not just a confused person, they're a devil. They're no different than a Roman Catholic priest. It's the same thing, they're a wicked person doing the devil's work. And there's saved people in these churches that are getting confused because of these people. That's what makes me mad. If his church was just filled with all unsaved people, then go ahead, preach whatever heresy you want. But, you know, people listen to his sermons online, and people go to his church that are saved people, and they're getting confused by this devil. That's the truth. Turn to James 2. You know, obviously, we look at certain people in this world that are bad people. You look at a guy like Vice Gonda. I use that term guy very lightly, right? We look at a guy like Vice Gonda. A wicked person, no doubt.
Yeah. Right.
But you know who's just as dangerous as Vice Gonda is Benny Abante.
Right.
We need to understand that when it comes to these false preachers, they're deceiving people. They're bad people. They're causing so much harm. And yeah, Vice Gonda is harming a lot of young kids that are becoming effeminate because they watch him all the time on TV.
Right.
But you got Benny Abante that's confusing saved people. And you know, Benny Abante is going to be responsible for so many people going to hell one day. Because they thought, they trusted in their pastor that told them you got to do good works. But the Bible says it's by faith alone. James 2. Let me give you an example of these two different sides. James 2, it says in verse 17, Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? So you got two different sides. Now, what Benny Abante would say is that if you're really saved, you're going to have works. Is that not true? He says you can't have faith without works. He would go to James 2 and say, well, wait a minute, faith without works is dead. So don't tell me you can have faith without works. Look, in James 2, what does it say? Faith without works. You know what that means? It means you can have faith without works.
Right.
True. I mean, do you not get basic English? Faith without works. Well, you can't have faith without works. Look, it says faith without works. You're literally going to the passage that disproves you. You go to faith without works is dead and say, well, you can't have faith without works. It says faith without works.
Right.
And it's funny when you hear these unsaved people explain passages, it just shows you the Spirit's not guiding them. Because they literally are just professing foolishness. Because it's like, I mean, it says faith without works. You quoted that. And you're telling me you can't have faith without works. And you used a verse that disproved you. I mean, it blows my mind. Turn to John 14. I'm just giving you a couple examples of just how we would look at certain verses and how we have very different opinions on it. John 14, verse 15. I love this verse where the Bible reads this. If ye love me, keep my commandments. What a great verse. I tell people this sometimes when they're confused and I'm preaching the gospel. How they say, well, you know, you gotta love the Lord, keep his commandments, be saved. It's like, no. You don't have to keep his commandments. If you love God, you're going to keep his commandments. You don't have to do that to be saved. Now look, us in this room, you know what the proof of whether or not you love God is? It's whether or not you keep his commandments.
Right.
It's whether or not you walk the walk, whether or not you do God's will, whether or not you read the Bible, whether or not you get sin out of your lives. That's the proof of whether or not you love God, whether or not you keep his commandments. But it's not proof of whether or not you're saved.
Right.
The evidence we need is what you believe. And if you believe salvation is a free gift and it lasts forever, you're saved. It's that simple. It's not works. Works is not the evidence of salvation. The Bible never teaches that. That is full-blown heresy to say that works is the evidence of salvation. No, it's not. Because there's saved people out there that have no evidence in terms of works. Because there are people that are drunks and are going to be drunks till the day they die, and we're going to see them in heaven. The Bible is very clear about that. But that's not what he believes. He would never believe that. That's what I believe. See, I believe that there's bad people out there that are saved and on their way to heaven. People that sin every single day and are bad husbands and are bad fathers and are drunks. But you know what? We're going to see them in heaven one day. You know why? Because I believe salvation's by grace through faith.
Amen.
He says he believes salvation's by grace through faith. Well, I don't see much evidence of that because you keep saying works, works, works. It's by grace through faith. Turn to Acts 6. Acts 6. And look, we just believe two very different things. You have to realize that. Anyone who would hear this sermon online, you have to realize that both of us would agree. He would say, I preach a false gospel. I'm saying he preaches a false gospel.
Amen.
Right? Both sides agree that we preach differently. That's what the whole fight was before we came down here. They said you're preaching a false gospel because you're not preaching repent of your sins. They agree we preach different gospels. Both sides are in agreement. These are different gospels. And look, if you're in this room and you can hear every verse I quoted this morning and still think you got to repent of your sins, look, the Ecclesia is a better church for you. This is not the right church for you. If you can hear all these verses about how the Bible says the gift of God is eternal life and still walk away saying you got to repent of your sins, and you can look at whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life, and he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works lest any man should boast, and you still walk away saying you got to repent of your sins. Look, this is not the best church for you. But on the contrary, if you go to that church and you can hear this sermon and you hear the voice of the shepherd and you realize, you know what, it is by faith alone. You got to leave that church.
Right.
Because these sides are two very opposite sides from one another.
Right.
You cannot stand in between on this issue. These are two different things. In Acts chapter 6, I want you to notice. Let's look at verse number 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Stephen spoke something, and they didn't agree. They couldn't resist it. They couldn't resist those words. They were mad about it. They were angry about it. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of just less than a month ago, Brother Timothy was preaching a sermon. He's preaching a sermon showing that salvation was by grace alone, and a Bible Baptist pastor walked out of the sermon. Right? Is that not true?
Right.
People that witnessed it. He could not resist the words that were being spoken. You know why? Because they hate the words we're saying.
Right.
They hate it when we say salvation's a free gift. They hate it when we say it's eternal life only in Jesus, that you don't have to repent of your sins. They absolutely hate the words we're saying right now. They hate it. They can't stand what we're saying. They hate us. Look, I hate the words that are coming out of his mouth.
Right.
Saying you got to repent of your sins. Yes, they hate our words. We hate their words.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Look, we're not. You say, well, we're both Baptists. No, we're not.
Right.
What we believe is the truth, that it's a free gift. What they believe is heresy. Look, I hate the words that come out of his mouth. I hated every second of that sermon. Right. I listened to it to get me angry for the sermon. That's the truth. Out of his own mouth, I listened to it. I mean, those quotes are terrible. You can't listen to that and say that you think the guy's saved. He obviously believes in a work salvation, and he is confusing. So I hate those words. We ought to hate those words. Right. I hate every false way.
Amen.
I hate
Amen.
This repentance of
Amen.
Sins.
Amen.
I hate
Amen.
This Calvinism. I hate Amen. This garbage, just like they hate what we're saying. These are two different, just like they walked out during his sermon. Why? Because they hate the words that are coming out of our mouths, that it's a free gift. They hate what we're doing this afternoon, getting all these people saved. They don't think they're really getting saved. Because, I mean, if you really get somebody saved, it's going to take more than just a 15-minute conversation, right? You're going to have to spend, like, you know, the second church I went to, the pastor I told you about that lied about being a Calvinist, I remember, you know, I started going to the church, and we had, like, a basketball time, and I talked to him about, you know, bringing an unsaved person to give him the gospel, and he's like, well, here's the thing. From my experience, we really need to give time for the Holy Spirit to really work on that person. And he's like, what I have is I can't remember if it was a 6-week or an 8-week Bible study to give him the gospel. Now, look, I didn't know as much at the time. I thought it sounded weird, but I was just like, oh, okay. And I was just thinking, my friend's not going to come, though, for, you know, 8 weeks for an hour for you to give the gospel, though, you know. So, you know, I never had him talk to him. But it's just like, you know, that's what they believe. They don't believe that we can get somebody saved in 15 minutes. They don't believe that. They believe you got to give time for the Holy Spirit to work on them, and then you got to quit drinking first and quit smoking and change your lifestyle. Look, that's garbage. That's work salvation.
Right.
And so the first point we have is just this. These are two very different sides from one another. And the second point is this. A side must be chosen. Exodus 32, verse 25. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked under their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. Look, Moses says, which side are you on? Are you on the Lord's side, or are you on the side of worshiping the golden calf? These are two different sides. You must make a choice. They're so far from one another. You can't be in between. It's not like these are close to each other. They're not close. You can't be on both sides. You either believe like we do or you believe like they do. It's one or the other. And look, a side must be chosen. Turn to 1 Kings 18. And look, this is what Moses said. He said, you've got to decide what side you're on. Who is on the Lord's side? And at that moment, when the time comes, you must make a decision. Look, in our lives, there might be moments when a certain thing comes up where we have to make a decision of what side we're on. And when that comes, we must decide. We can't do this in-between thing. We must be all the way over here or all the way over there. And look, when we preach the gospel, we make it a point to tell people they don't have to repent of their sins. They don't have to change their lifestyle. They don't have to do good works. They don't have to get baptized. They don't have to repent of their sins. We make it very clear. Why? Because look, most people are on their side. 99% of the world is on the side of Benny Abante. They think their works and their reformation, their repenting of their sins is going to get them saved.
Right.
And so when we preach the gospel, the only way to get them saved is to make it very clear that, look, what you believe is different than the truth. You must change what you believe to believe on Jesus Christ. You
right.
must repent of your unbelief to believe on Jesus Christ. We must make it very clear, because otherwise, they're going to still stay on that side. And you can't be in between. You must put all your faith in Jesus. This topic is work salvation. When they say you got to repent of your sins and you must make a decision. And many people in this room, you've seen this in action. You've seen friends and family, your old church that, you know, gets mad at you for getting people saved. And you're like, what in the world? Why would they get mad? Because they don't believe what we believe.
No, right, true.
They're mad that you're changing them from believing like they did to what we do now.
Yes.
They're mad about that. They don't want you to believe on Jesus Christ alone because they don't believe that. 1 Kings 18, look at verse 19. Now therefore, send and gather to me all Israel onto Mount Carmel. And the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together onto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. The people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. This is like it is today. There's probably like 450 unsaved prophets or unsaved preachers to one preacher that's good. That's the way it is. You look around the world, the vast majority of people in this country, Catholic priests, right? I mean, are any of them saved? No, I don't think so. I mean, are any of the Galatian Ecclesia saved? I don't think so. I mean, the vast majority of the preachers are unsaved, preaching a false gospel. Anyway, I like Elijah's reaction to verse 21. Like, he's mad at people holding between two opinions, but he basically just says, take a side. He's like, if you want to follow Baal, go for it. And that's the way I feel. I mean, if you're in this room and you think you got to repent of your sins, and you heard all the preaching on this in the first sermon, and someone could talk to you and give you the gospel, and you still disagree, look, this is not the right church for you. Right. Go ahead and join their church. And it's the same thing over there. If you're at his church, you're at these churches that are preaching work salvation, and you don't believe that, you need to leave that church and go to a different church.
Amen.
This church is not a perfect church, but turn to Galatians 1. It's not a perfect church. Our church is going to make salvation very clear that it's just by believing.
Amen.
I mean, in this instant, with Elijah and the false prophets of Baal, either Elijah's a devil or the prophets of Baal are devils. They can't both be good people.
Right.
People have this idea, well, I mean, all preachers are good, right? They're all serving God and helping people in their lives. No, they're not. The vast majority of preachers are devils. They're bad people. They're preaching false gospels. They're wicked people. That's the truth. And as you turn to Galatians 1, it says in Matthew 12:30, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. And that's what these false preachers are doing. They're scattering. They're not helping get people saved. They're not helping do anything good. They're preaching against what the Lord says. Galatians 1, verse 6 through 9. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. What's the Bible saying there? How should we view people preaching a false gospel? We're not just talking about unsaved people. We're talking about people that would stand behind a pulpit and preach a false gospel. How should we view them? The Bible says, let him be accursed.
Amen.
You know what that means? Let them go to hell. Amen. That's what the Bible's saying. Let these false prophets die and go to hell. That's what the Bible teaches. Right. If they're going to preach a false gospel and confuse people, let them go to hell. Right. They're causing destruction. We should not have sympathy for the Benny Abantes of this world. These people that for 30 years, 40, however long he's been preaching, however long he's been the pastor of that church, we should not feel sympathy for him for when he dies and goes to hell. Because he is confusing people and sending people to hell. The Bible says, let him be accursed. That's Paul the Apostle's word. I love the words of the Bible. I believe the words of the Bible are great. They're perfect. They're pure words. And Paul's words were, let him be accursed. Let him be damned. Let him go to hell. That's what the Bible's saying. You say, man, you're not a very nice person. You know what? Well, I guess Paul the Apostle wasn't a very nice person. I guess Jesus wasn't a very nice person. No, you know what? I just want to see people go to heaven. And you know what? It takes this kind of preaching to help people understand this stuff.
Yeah.
I hate the fact that there's saved people in churches like that. that are getting confused by these devils. And you guys know them. You have friends, you have family, you have people you know that are saved and confused. Man, it better make us angry that they're doing this. That's why we're preaching this. Because the Bible says, let them be accursed. That's strong language from the Bible. Turn back to Exodus 32. Now, Verity Baptist Church, Manila, we believe in preaching the whole counsel of God. So we'll preach sermons on joy. We'll preach sermons on love. We'll preach sermons on peace, but we're also going to preach sermons against false prophets. We're also going to preach about judgment. We're not leaving anything out. We're preaching the whole Bible. Anyway, this is what the Bible teaches, that if someone's a false prophet, let them go to hell. We got two different sides. You got to make a decision. And I want you to understand the third point is this. If you stick with these churches, you're not part of our movement. You're not part of BBC Manila. That's the truth. And look, you know, you guys know people that they might be saved, but you know what? If they choose not to side with us, they're not with us. I remember going to a church one time. This was the first church after I got saved, and this church was not King James only. And I understood once I started going to the church that the King James Bible was perfect. And I remember someone I looked at as one of my best friends, because me and a few guys left the church. Pastor Jason Robinson was with me. You know, a lot of people you know him. A few other people. I remember we left the church, and he was one of our best friends. And he told me, he's like, I'm with you guys, but I'm going to stay at this church. He's like, you're not with me. I mean, a decision has to be made, and you made your decision. That's the truth. Anyway, if people make the decision to stay in these churches, it doesn't matter whether they're saved or not. They're not with us. Because what we're doing is going out there and preaching the gospel to the lost. They're not coming with us soul winning. If they're not coming up with us out there soul winning and getting people saved and preaching the truth and trying to help get churches established, they're not with us. And look, you know, it's sad because we're going to see people in heaven one day that's stuck with all these dead as a doornail churches. But you know what? They're not with us. They're not going to work with us. Look, you know, I'm glad I'll see them in heaven one day, but they're not with us if they're not going to start coming to a church like this or a like-minded church. And you guys know that. All throughout Metro Manila, there are saved people going to churches with unsaved pastors. I would just not go to church at all. That's the truth. I wouldn't go to church where the pastor's not saved and preaching a false gospel. That's my opinion. I wouldn't go to that. I would find something else or move or do whatever. Many of you were in that sort of situation. But you know what? It's like there's other alternatives now. And you know what? Yeah, it might be a long drive. But you know what, you can make the effort. Because you know, in the Bible, I believe people went a long distance to hear the preaching of the Word of God. I mean, John the Baptist was preaching in the wilderness. But they didn't have a Subaru to drive them out there. I mean, it was a long effort to make it to hear the preaching of the Word of God. And in our world today, people just don't value the preaching of the Word of God. They say, well, you know, yeah, I mean, he's wrong about this repentance thing, but it's the closest church to me. No, you need to leave that church.
Right,
you need
right.
to put in the effort. And many people in this room have put in a big effort to be here. A lot of you guys come from a long distance. Why? Because you love the Word of God.
Amen.
It's worth it to come that far. Right. You love seeing people get saved,
Amen.
And we hate seeing people get deceived. And look, that's the truth. People need to do that. I've driven more than an hour to church before. Look, next week we're moving to Quezon City. Wednesdays is going to be a long drive to me. But you know what? It's worth going a long distance to hear the preaching of the Word of God. And you know, would to God one day we'll have a lot of great churches here in Metro Manila. But right now we don't. That's the reality. It says in Exodus 32, verse 27 and 28, and he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp and slay every man his brother and every man his companion and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. I guess Moses isn't that nice either. He's having people killed, right? See, this is an instance where a decision had to be made of what side, and the people that stuck with the golden calf side, they were destroyed. You know, it doesn't matter whether these people, these false churches are saved or not. They're going down in the same ship that Vinny Abante is in. And everybody at that church, whether they're saved or not, they're hearing the same preaching, they're going to do nothing in their lives. They're never going to go out soul winning. They're never going to do anything. They're never going to lead anyone to the Lord. They're not going to read the Bible. They're at a terrible church. Look, you got to make a decision on this. And if you don't, you're going to go down with that ship. If you stick with them, you're not part of us. You're not with us. Turn to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. See, throughout the Bible, when we talk about church, church is a congregation. It means people are congregated together. They're as one. We here this morning, we are a church. We're together. We're here for the preaching of God's word. We're going to go out soul winning at 2:30 and get a lot of people saved. We're here together. A church is together. Look, if there's somebody who's saved, but they're not going to this church, they're not with us. They're not a part of that. Us. In Ephesians 4:16, it says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. It's talking about the body of Christ. It's talking about a local church. Fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. It says that we're joined together, and it says that we work effectually. What that means is all of us help each other out. We're part of the same church. We need all of us, every single one of us, for this church to operate. It's not just me up here preaching. We need everybody in this room for this church to operate efficiently, and we work together. We're joined together. And if somebody's not here, it doesn't matter whether they're saved or not. They're not working together with us, right? Yeah, there's saved people here in Metro Manila, but if they're not here, they're not with us. Turn to Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2. And like I said before, because I don't want anyone to get confused, obviously I understand on Wednesday nights when we have service, not everyone in this room is able to come at 7 p.m. It can be really bad when there's a lot of traffic. I understand that. So I'm not down on you because you don't skip work on Wednesday to come to church. I understand that. You know, you're willing to drive come a long distance away. I'm glad you're coming here for one day a week. You know, one thing that's interesting, at every church I've ever seen for more than a decade, you know, if somebody goes soul winning, then they go to all church services. Without fail, every single time. But there's people that go to all church services that don't go soul winning. And so I know that anyone who's missing Wednesday night, it's not because you want to miss. Because, I mean, there's like 26 soul winners that were out on Sunday. It's like you want to be here. It's just too far. It's not possible for you to come from that distance. I understand that. Because I'm telling you, anyone who's willing to go soul winning is going to come to all three church services. Because they love the Word of God. They want to hear and they want to go out and preach the Word of God. It says in Hebrews 2:12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church, why sing praise unto thee? In the midst of the church. You go back to the Old Testament, and he says, in the midst of the congregation. So a church means you're congregated. It means you're together. We're joined together. And if somebody's not here, they're not with us. Turn to James 4. James 4. And in James 4, this is what it says in verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. If you're a friend of the world, you're the enemy of God. So what about a person who goes to a church where they know their pastor's saved and he's preaching a false gospel? God says you're his enemy if you're a friend of the world. What about if you're friends with a false prophet? You go to a church like that. Look, people that don't come to this church, they're not with us. According to the Bible, they're enemies of God. God's mad at them. Why? Because they're scattering abroad. Because if you're not with us gathering and getting people saved, you're scattering abroad. And there's saved people that go to these churches. They're never going to lead anyone to the Lord. They're never going to do anything for God. And they're working for the enemy. They're giving the tithe money to that church to help them preach a false gospel. It's like, what in the world is wrong with you? And it's just like, I'm telling you, when I was 20 years old and I found out that my pastor was a false prophet, I left the church. Right, that's what everybody needs to do. It doesn't matter if I thought he was a great guy. I have so many friends here. It doesn't matter. Right. You leave if you find out he's a devil. He's a false prophet. Turn to 1 Kings 22. 1 Kings 22. And in 1 Kings 22, we have a story with Jehoshaphat and Ahab. It's kind of interesting because just between the surface, me and Brother Emily were talking about Ahab here and whether or not he was a believer or not. And I believe that Ahab was saved. That's my opinion. I believe he was saved, but he had a really wicked wife that caused him to do really a lot of bad things. I believe he was saved, though. But regardless of whether or not he's saved, it's irrelevant because he was a bad guy. He was doing bad things. Okay? And Jehoshaphat links up with a guy who's living a wicked lifestyle and doing bad things. It says in 1 Kings 22, verse 1, and they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, know ye that Ramoth and Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria? And he said unto Jehoshaphat, Wilt thou go with me to battle in Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses. Look, we're not like them. Never say something like this. Well, you know, we're just like him. We're both Baptists. No, we're not like him. We're different. Verse 5, Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? Jehoshaphat knows that this is a false prophet, so he says, I want to hear a good prophet. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Jehoshaphat links up with this false guy, and all of a sudden he's hearing a false prophet, his words. When you have two different sides, you cannot be on both sides. You've got to make a decision. And Jehoshaphat was a great guy, but you know what? He made a terrible decision. You've got to decide what side you're on. These are very different sides. They're two extremely opposite sides from one another. Turn to Ruth chapter 1. Ruth 1. Now in this room, we have a lot of people that used to go to Bible Baptist churches. And you know, you left the Bible Baptist church. And this is the reason why you left. Because they are preaching a false gospel. And you know that. They're preaching repentance of sins. They're preaching work salvation. And this last point is just kind of like a plea to people that would listen to this sermon. Because I just want to tell them, you know what? Many people in this room have already forsaken everything to come to this church. That's the truth. I mean, you've got family now that hates you because you go to this church. And it's only going to get worse. That's the truth. You have family that hates you for coming to this church. You have old friends that don't want to talk to you. Old pastors and people you know, and they don't want to have anything to do with you now. And you're taking a stand, and you're suffering as a result. I remember during the Orlando protest, you know, when people took a side to stand at Verity Baptist Church. And you know what? Some people had to worry about their jobs and things like that, you know, with everything being on the news and stuff. But you know what? When you have an issue like this, two sides, you've got to make a decision of what side you're on. And you know, we had people that were at that church that when we had the protest that happened, I mean, they had their nice little excuse of why they left. They had their nice little reason. Well, I just don't agree with all the doctrines. The bottom line is you sided with the Sodomites over the man of God. That's the truth.
Right.
And it's just like people that would just listen to this kind of preaching and say, you know what, I'm going to side with the repentance of sins preachers and still go to my old church. Look, you know, they're not on our side. And in this room, people have already forsaken everything to be a part of this church. In Ruth 1, we see a great example of two types of people. We see Ruth and Orpah. And it says in Ruth 1, verse 6, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, which are Ruth and Orpah. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. Notice this in verse 10. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. They both say, I will forsake everything to return with you. They both say that. Verse 11. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons. Would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. So Naomi's telling them, just stay behind. You don't have to go with me. But Ruth and Orpah, remember, they both said they were going to follow Naomi. And being in Moab, you got a false god. Same sort of situation. False god, true god. And both say, we're going to go to follow the true God. We're going to follow you. And then it says in verse 14, and they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. You notice how Orpah kisses her mother-in-law goodbye. And she sides with the wrong side. Ruth, on the other hand, she goes and she follows. Look, Ruth forsook everything. She didn't even know where she was going to get food or anything. And honestly, when she made that decision in her mind, she was probably thinking, I'm never going to be married because of the fact, you know, being a woman of Moab, God's people aren't going to want to marry a Moabitish woman, right? And so she decided to forsake everything. She didn't even know where her food was coming from. I mean, everything's just gone. And you have certain situations in life, when they come up, you must make a decision. I'm sure later on with this church, there's going to be certain topics or certain things where something comes up, we got to make a decision what side we're on. And when that time comes, you must always side with God. No matter how much it will cost you, serving God is going to cost you something. Right. You're going to have to sacrifice. But I'll tell you what, look at how many people we get saved. I mean, look at your lives. You know, the people in here that are soul winners that have led people to the Lord. I mean, if you died tomorrow, you could still look back at your life and, you know what, say, I accomplished something with my life. Maybe you didn't end with any money. Maybe you didn't end with any fame. But you helped lead people from hell to heaven. What we're doing this afternoon is huge. I mean, leading people to the Lord. I mean, that's amazing. There's nothing better than to lead people to the Savior. Nothing's more important than that. And even if I don't end with much money in my life, and even if I end with a lot of people hating me for the things I preach, if I can look back and say, you know what, I've helped lead people to the Lord, what's more valuable than that? Anyway, Ruth forsook everything. She was willing to take a stand. Orpah wasn't. Most of the world are like Orpah, the vast majority. Most people, they aren't willing to take the stand. You know, in this room, and I have more verses, but I think we're just going to close here on this last one. I think that's a great passage. But, you know, in this room, I just want to let you know this. I want to thank you for taking the stand to be a part of this church. Because I know that there's a lot of you in this room that you've sacrificed a lot because you want to serve God. You just want to be at a church that preaches the truth.
Amen.
And it might have hurt you in terms of financially, with jobs, with friends, and everything. But look, when you side with God, you will not end up regretting it. It's going to be worth it. Now, let me tell you something. This church is going to do great things through the coming years, through the decades. We're going to see a lot of great churches start. We're just here at the beginning. We're small in number, but look at how many people we've already gotten saved as a church. We're accomplishing something big here. And let me tell you something. It's just my plea to people that would hear this sermon. It's time to side with the Lord. These sides are two very opposite sides from one another, and you can't stick with them. You're not part of us. Then make the decision to come here and be a part of Verity Baptist Church Manila. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be in your house this morning. I ask you to just touch people's heart that would hear this sermon online or these two sermons online, God. Help them to make it very clear. Help them realize, you know, what they believe about the Bible and salvation. And help them to make the decision to side with God's people, God. You know, we need more people out there soul winning, laboring, and ask you to just continue to bless this church. And bless all the families of people in this church, God, who have made a decision to be a part of here. And it's cost them some things in their life. And they've made sacrifices to serve you, God. Ask you to bless them, you know, both spiritually, physically, and also financially, God. Ask you to help them for making the decision to be a part of us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Song number 43, we're marching to Zion. Song number 43, we're marching to Zion. On the first verse,
come be the love of the Lord and let our voice be known. Join in a song with sweet accord. Join in a song. Beautiful, beautiful Zion.
Sa langit, maraming salamat, Ama, sa natapos naming pananambahan sa araw na ito. At maraming maraming salamat po, Panginoon, sa inyong mga salita na aming narinig sa pamamagitan ng inyong anak, Panginoon, at sa mulikot si Brother Majestaki, Panginoon, at may bahay sa pamamunan ng simbahan. Pati po, Panginoon, sa pamamunan galing sa bawat isa, ito ay Diyos na nabuhay ng pamahal ng inyong salita. At yung katotohanan, Panginoon. Isin sa lahat, Panginoon, ang iyong pag-ibig sa mga kaluluwa, wala kang Kristo, wala kang kalitasin sa mga salamat po po, Panginoon, sa lahat ng iyong binigay ang aming panghawakan, O Diyos, na ang kalitasan po, ang buhay na walang hanggan, ang tangi lamang po kay Jesus at sa aming kanilang. Ito po, ingatan ang bawat isa at bigyan ang kamigyahan sa aming sasalo at sa aming ang aming panalangin sa pangalan ni Jesus na aming pagpapalitas.